Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, fight fans, to the big fight preview for Chris Eubank Jr. versus Liam Williams happening this weekend. What a fantastic fight and what a great fight to be coming back on the big fight preview show for the network. I'm really excited to be talking about this fight. It's been about two and a half years in the making, this one. We're going to give our breakdown of how we think this fight's going to go down. Of course, our predictions. Quite a deep card, that undercard on Sky Sports and their deal with Boxer. One of the first major cards I think they've put on. So I'm really excited to go through that. And then, of course, we've got other fights happening. We've got the return of Keith Thurman after about 2.5 years out of the ring after his defeat to Manny Pacquiao. We've also got Carly Skelly challenging Jamie Mitchell for the WBA bantamweight title in the female division. There's plenty of fights this weekend. People have missed boxing in January because in the UK it was cancelled by the British Boxing Board of Control, so we've missed it, and now it's our chance to see some good cards this weekend, not just in the UK but across the world. But Johnston, handing it over to you, Eubank Williams is the fight of the weekend for me. It's the fight I'm most looking forward to. It's a domestic fight for all intents and purposes. Both have been world title challengers. Chris Eubank Jr. has been a world champion of sorts, of course. But this is an interesting fight because it's definitely a clash of styles, and people are quite 50-50 on how this fight is going to go down. So I suppose I want to know what your initial reaction is, first of all, to this fight actually happening now after all these war of words, and also sort of what your initial gut feeling is about this fight.
Yeah, I think I'm with you in terms of it's a fight that's taken a while to really finally be made. And it's a fight that's really intriguing because of the fact that it is a 50-50. You can be persuaded to go for either fighter. I've sat down and had a brief look at the pair of them. I've seen enough of them over their careers. And I know what they're going to bring. It's just a matter of who comes out on top. And that is the intrigue of it. The fact that we haven't had boxing for a while and we come back to this one. And it's a big fight. Especially for us as British boxing fans, and I'm sure overseas as well, they're thinking, licking their lips at this one as well, because the clash of styles does make it a fascinating duel, and one where, yeah, it's just difficult to really pick the winner. I've never shied away from the fact that I'm not the biggest fan of Chris Eubank Jr., but I've warmed to him recently, to be fair. I'm not quite sure what it is. I think there's been a change of his mindset, and his arrogance has slowly declined, which makes me like him a lot more. He should never have tried to follow in the footsteps of his father in that sort of arrogance that his father had, that he could carry through his boxing career and he earned several fans from that. But I don't think Eubank Jr. should have done that. He should have, fair enough, you know, you're going to fight in your father's shadow. I think he's come out of it a little bit at times, but in other times he's been put back in his box. So that's what makes it really interesting. And Liam Williams ain't going to shy away from telling him that he respects his father, but he doesn't respect his son. That's just the war of words. I love all that. It makes it even more exciting. I can't wait for it. I'm really excited, to be fair. And I don't know if it is because we haven't had boxing for a little while, but this is the first time in a little, for a long time that I'm really excited and can't wait to get for this night to start.
So let's just go into their careers a little bit over the last few fights during the course of the pandemic era. Now, for Chris Eubank Jr., he had two victories against Marcus Morrison and Wanik Awijan. I think I've pronounced that right. If not, someone will surely correct me on social media. But he's had them two victories, of course. Yeah. He's had them two victories, of course. And now he's stepping in with Liam Williams. Now, Liam Williams had his world title challenge in his last fight in April of last year against Demetrius Andrade. And whilst he tried to put it on Andrade, for me, he was outclassed against a better technical boxer. And that was what it boiled down to. He was, you know, a level above Liam Williams Andrade. Now, Liam Williams has stepped back down to domestic level and he's taking on Chris Eubank Jr. in what we said is a clash of styles. And it is, because Liam Williams is an all-action pressure fighter who's going to come in there and try to use what I think would be educated pressure. A part of me feels like, are his emotions going to get in the way of him because he's wanted this fight for so long? Or is he going to use educated pressure and try to get on the inside of Chris Eubank Jr., who, as we know, on his night, has some fantastic boxing ability? There is the question of, what has Roy Jones Jr. brought to Chris Eubank's arsenal? Has he improved anything? Has he fine-tuned anything? Has he given him something that he hasn't had before? I think we've got to remember as well, for anybody that didn't know, before Chris Eubank Jr. turned professional, he spent a lot of years over in America, like his father before him. He spent a lot of time in the Mayweather camp when he was training, before he became a professional. So he's been around some really quality operators over the years. But I think the disappointing thing about Eubank is, when the time's come to really shine, he hasn't. His two big chances, I think, were the Billy Joe Saunders fight and the George Groves fights. Yes, he's had some really good victories, and I'm not denying any of them victories he's had. But when the time's come to step up to the big leagues, to fight the big names, he's fell short. And they are the two losses on his record. Liam Williams, is he a big name? Not worldwide. Definitely not worldwide. A lot of Americans didn't really know who Liam Williams was when he fought Andrade. And that's no disrespect to Williams. For me, Williams has now put himself in a position where he could be considered a good contender to face for a world champion. But he's got to get past Liam Williams. Now, how does he do that, Johnston? How does Eubank get past Williams? And how does Williams get past Eubank?
Well, I think, first of all, I think you made a great point at the fact that Eubank Jr. has fouled when he needed to produce the goods most. The IBO title against Ronald Quinlan, he could have called himself a champion at the time, but let's be honest, he wasn't really a champion. It's almost like you're a high contender while winning that belt, and you probably deserve a shot against for a real title. And he got his opportunity against George Groves and he fouled miserably. It was a terrible performance from him. And many other pundits, like Nazim Hamid, I believe, when he didn't shy away from the fact that his performance stunk. And it wasn't great. George Groves, though, to respect him, he performed really well. And I think that's, if Williams is going to tap into anything, he's got to be looking at how George Groves bullied Eubank and stopped him at times, putting back on the back foot, which is what Williams is going to need to do. I mean, the one, I'd say the best victory for a Eubank Jr. was the Arthur Abraham win. But Abraham, even then, he was, you know, he's over the hill. He was an old boy. He's been around for a while. Still a tough competitor, but Eubank Jr. should have really won that. And he did. And I like that performance. I mean, way back when against Saunders, he learned from that fight, because I think he allowed Saunders to dictate the early stages of that, and then he came back later on and he just fell short because his late rally wasn't enough. Then obviously the James DeGale fight is another fight where, you know, James DeGale's over the hill. It was a good performance, but it's hard to really assess Eubank Jr. following that Groves defeat, because all right, James DeGale, it just wasn't the same after the Babu Jack fight. So you sort of expected the performance that he gave. And then since then, Marcus Morrison, he's not a bad fighter, but let's be honest, they're not world level fighters. And then you look at Liam Williams, and like you say, I mean, he came up short against Andrade. Andrade was disrespectful to Williams. And I think that the one thing about Williams is he put himself about and he made himself known. And Andrade walked away from that fight knowing exactly who Liam Williams is. It wasn't an easy night for him. He was never going to give up. He's just a resilient kind of guy, unless he gets pulled out of the ring. So the fact that it's in Cardiff, the fact that the crowd are going to be behind him, my worry with Williams, like you rightly said, you hit the nail right on the head, is the fact is he going to allow the whole arena, the situation, the passion, overall, his boxing ability, which he has. And then on the other hand, will it help him and give him even more fight? Because Liam Williams has got abundance of wit and determination and resolve, whereas Chris Eubank, we've seen it against Groves, he can buckle. And that's the telling point for me. I just don't know what you're going to get. Is Williams going to go in too aggressive, blow himself out, and then Eubank's going to end up picking him off and probably, you know, having it a comfortable night? Or is Eubank going to buckle? I'll let you talk a bit more first. Maybe you can put some more thoughts on my head, Sean, because I'm really stuck with it. I really can't. Honest to God, I'm excited about the fight. I mean, as you probably tell, I really genuinely am, because, you know, the winner, it puts him in a position to go for another world title. So it's a lot on the line. There's a lot of pressure. So whether it's going to be cagey, the crowd are going to be so behind Williams, you know, and the fact that we haven't had boxing, the passion in that crowd is going to be fantastic to watch. And I just wonder whether Eubank's going to be able to deal with it. I don't know, Sean, what do you think, mate?
I think assessing both fighters' styles, both fighters' history, the type of fights that they like to be involved in, I think this is going to be a really, really tight fight, if I'm being honest. This is how I feel. I could be totally wrong. We could see a one-sided performance on Saturday, but I honestly feel it's going to be a tight fight. I think we know Eubank can fight. You know, he can box really well. He can definitely box better than Liam Williams. He's proven he's got the ability to box better than Liam. However, he likes to get down and dirty and in them trenches, and he likes to fight at close range. When he's got a fighter like Liam who will push him, he fights back. Now, yeah, you've talked about the Groves fight. I think Groves was a different style. I think the way Groves fought Eubank Jr. was different to what Liam is going to do. Liam's going to be in his face constantly. Groves wasn't. Groves picked him apart and frustrated him and made him look amateurish, whereas Williams will get in his face. He'll try and rough him up. He'll try and push him against the ropes. He'll try and fight him on the inside. It's whether Eubank is going to respond, and it's going to be a test of a great heart and determination. Now, I know both of these guys have that, and they've shown that in abundance throughout the career. And that's going to be the telling factor, is who is going to come out and outgun the other fighter. If Eubank goes in and doesn't approach it with his tactical style in mind, with a way to sort of box at range and not get, you know, down and dirty in the trenches with him, and use a game plan and be able to sort of stick and move, use lateral movement, get out of the way, throw a few, move around. Just basically a one-sided performance, then Eubank's got this. But I honestly don't see it being as simple as that. I think Williams is going to put a lot of pressure on him. He's going to try and bully him, and it's going to make it a really close fight. I do think it will go to points. I'd be very surprised if there was a knockout, but it's not out of the realms of possibility. One of these guys could go. It only takes one sweet punch, one sweet spot to happen, and the fight is over. But I do anticipate that both of them have proven they've got a really good chin and that they can take a good dig and they will stick it out to the end. So I do see this going to points. In terms of going which way, in terms of predicting which way this fight will go, is the more difficult factor of it, because on one hand, as I've said, you've got a fighter who could quite easily make this a straightforward night in Chris Eubank. Chris Eubank could make this easier if he used his boxing ability. Liam Williams could bully him, could put it on him, could put all the aggression in there and throw the punches, might not always land them straight to the body. They might go on a lot of gloves and a lot of arms, but that controlled aggression might win him the fight on the judges' scorecards. I think it is going to be a points decision. I'm really torn myself as to how this will play out. A part of me feels Eubank's got the bigger fight experience. He's been in with bigger names over the course of his career, and I lean towards Eubank beating Williams on points. But then there's the other side of my brain that says, you know, it's in Cardiff, and he's got the crowd behind him, like you were saying, Johnston. He's got these factors behind him. You know, he's got an opportunity again to challenge for a world title. Should he beat Eubank Jr.? Is it going to be the performance of his career? And that could well be the case. So, in terms of our predictions then for this fight, we've got to go out on a limb and we've got to pick a winner for this one. We can't sit on the fence. I am going to go with Chris Eubank Jr. on points. I think Chris Eubank Jr. just. It'll be a very, very close fight. And I think Chris Eubank might just nick this one. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tough one. It really is. When I think about Eubank, and you know, I think there's a lot of factors involved here. I think if Eubank was to get cut, for instance, like he did against George Groves, I mean, and I'm predicting things here, you just don't know, but you know, a cut like that, he fell to pieces, and I think if he starts slow like he did against Saunders, he's gonna be in trouble. And I sort of think he can box really well, he can be fantastic at times, and then other times he's just not the same fighter. You know, 6 minutes into a fight, you like, this guy's amazing. And then 6 minutes later, you're like, this ain't the same fighter, because he gets a bit too relaxed and a little bit, maybe he gets too overconfident in how he's performing at the time. And I think that could hinder him. If he gets put on the back foot and Williams does put him under a bit of pressure, it will be interesting to see how he comes back. And then the other factor is if someone gets put down on their ass. I don't think anyone's going to get knocked out, but the possibility is there that, you know, someone gets knocked down. I mean, Williams struggled as well with Smith when he got cut as well. So look, there's so many different factors you've got to incorporate. But I think with the fact that it is in Cardiff and Liam Williams is up for it, and I think Eubank Jr. will have his patches and have his moments, he's still going to want to go into the trenches. And I think that will suit Williams. He will be a little bit more tentative in the opening rounds for me, Williams. I think he will be a little bit more reserved in his pressure, and then he will decide to start putting his foot down. And that may suit Eubank, but as soon as Williams does put his foot down, I think Eubank is going to find himself in a bit of trouble. That being said, Eubank throws a lot of shots. He does. He throws a lot of punches. So Williams has got to be clever with that, and he's got to make him miss and waste energy in missing punches. Oh, it is so... I think it's going to distance, and I think... I would be tempted to go Eubank Jr., but because it's in Cardiff, because the Cardiff fans haven't had boxing for a while, they're going to get right behind Williams. And I think because of that, I'm going to go with Williams on points by a very small margin. It could go either way, but Williams may get it, and I think it'd probably be like a split decision.
So I can understand why you're going Williams, and for the context of you know, what you're trying to say there, for people that might not understand what you're trying to say, I know you're not just trying to say the crowd are going to be like the fourth man, essentially. What that's going to do is, if he's got that crowd behind him, which he has, he's got the Welsh crowd behind him, they probably don't like Eubank. It's pretty evident a lot of them don't.
Oh, he's going to get booed all over the place.
Of course. So that's going to play a factor in the fight. It's not going to do anything to enhance his ability, but what it might do is actually spur him on. It might give him that extra bit of adrenaline he needs to try and back Chris Eubank Jr. into a corner, or back him against the ropes, or land a few more shots on him, essentially giving him the opportunity to win the fight on points. That's what it means. So people that might be listening and thinking, oh, what's Johnston on about here? He's saying it's because it's in Cardiff, because the fans are going to be there. No, what we mean when we say things like that is exactly what we describe. It does give that extra edge to the fighter. It gives them that extra bit of energy and adrenaline to be able to pull off some of these great victories. And Ricky Hatton, Kostya Szyu, that to me says it all. That crowd that night was amazing. I was there. That crowd was unbelievable. And it was that crowd that got him through some of them tough moments. And Liam Williams is going to have some tough moments on Saturday night, and it's going to be that crowd that are going to help him get through that. I think Chris Eubank still wins it. but it's a really intriguing fight. It's a great fight to restart boxing after that hiatus in January for the UK. I'm really looking forward to this headline act this weekend, but it's not the only fight on the card. It's a pretty stacked card. We're not going to go through all of it because there are some fights that I'd like to highlight so that we can discuss them a bit further. And one of them is the chief support to this, which is the middleweight clash between Claressa Shields and Emma Cosin. Now, this is for all the marbles in the middleweight division. Claressa Shields has come over here. She wants to fight over here because she wants to fight Savannah Marshall. She's now making it clear she's here. She wants to fight Savannah Marshall. She's here to put on a show. And Savannah Marshall's going to be watching very closely because hopefully we'll see that fight. We've talked about that fight on our wishlist episode at the start of the year. That's one of them fights that needs to happen. We're now getting to see Serrano versus Taylor, or Taylor Serrano. That's happening April the 30th. We're absolutely ecstatic about that. But the next one we want to see is Shields versus Marshall. But she's got to come through an undefeated fighter, first and foremost. Emma Cosin is no mug. Yes, she's got some fighters on the record that haven't got the greatest of records, but the one notable name that she has got on her record is Maria Lindberg, a former world champion herself. She beat her in 2019. That, to me, shows that she has got the skills and ability, along with what I have already seen of Cosin, to give Shields some problems. And I say some problems, and I say it in that tone because I think Claressa Shields is a pound-for-pound great, and she calls herself the greatest woman of all time. Not quite for me, however, she is an unbelievable talent, and I can't deny that. And I do think she comes through this fight, and I do think she successfully defends them titles, and she calls out Savannah, and we get some sort of heated face-off if Savannah is down there. I'm not sure if she is, but if she is, we'll get some sort of heated face-off, hopefully promoting a fight in the future with these two. That's a good chief support for this, and I'm happy that she's made the journey over here. I'm happy that this fight's happening and that we get the opportunity to see her showcase her skills here and hopefully really build this fight towards its conclusion, and we do get it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with Claressa Shields coming over here is great. We don't have many Americans at the top of their game that are willing to come over to this country and fight on the undercard, if you like. And you know, she hasn't fought over here before. She's a big name. She's a huge name. She's one of the pound-for-pound best, as you clearly said. And she will want to showcase her abilities to the English fans, to the British fans in Cardiff. And I think, although, as you say, Cosin has got the one decent victory on her record, on her resume, against Lindberg, I don't think she's going to pose, I'm not saying not going to pose much, any threat. She's definitely going to put Claressa under some sort of pressure at some point, but I just think that Claressa is here to prove a point, and I think she will. I think she will against Cosin, and I think she comes away with a victory. It would be a huge shock if she fell to pieces and Cosin got the win. I can't see it happening, and I think Marshall will definitely be there. I'm sure she would be. They'd be mad not to have her there. And then sort of the after the fight, the post fight interview will be quite interesting, wouldn't it, to see how that plans out. But I think Claressa is here to prove a point, and I think I'm expecting one of her best performances in a while, to be honest with you. And it's nice to see her back in the boxing ring and obviously over here. So looking forward to it.
So just going through some of the other fights on the card then. Samuel Antwi and Conor Walker for the English welterweight title is also on the card. It's a great fight for everybody to tune into. Chris Jenkins, another Welsh hero, another bit of history possibly for him to make. He's fighting Julius Ndongo, the same Julius Ndongo who beat Ricky Burns in 2017, who kind of fell to pieces once he fought Terence Crawford, of course, and he hasn't really been the same fighter that beat Ricky Burns on that night. So Chris Jenkins at the welterweight division has got an opportunity to further enhance his career. So there's a pretty decent fight on the card there. Another Welshman, Rhys Edwards, is also on the card, 11-0. But the surprise addition to this particular card for me was heavyweight Otto Wallin coming in to fight Kamil Sokolowski in a six rounder in the heavyweight division. I mean, Otto Wallin's decided to come over here, he's decided to get his name out there. Oh, bloody hell, what a name to go against. You know, the danger man of the six round, the four and the six rounders, Kamil Sokolowski. I mean, there's a potential here for an upset to be on the cards, especially in a short round fight like that. But I think Otto Wallin's, again, he's coming over here. He's got himself on this card. He's looking to showcase himself. He's a fighter that I think needs another big fight and probably deserves another big fight. He gave Tyson Fury a hell of a night when he fought him, the only loss on his record. And I think he deserved to be pushed back up there and maybe deserves a really good fight, like a Parker or a Chisora or a Joe Joyce or somebody of that nature. You know, Otto Wallin needs that. So, you know, this sort of tick-over fight is not going to be an easy one. So that is a surprising addition to me. And then the card is made up of Harlem Eubank, 12-0, and then Steve Robinson Jr., the son of the great Steve Robinson, again, another Welsh fighter on this card, which is great. And then finally, Johnson, before I let you have your say on this card as an overall, Caroline Dubois making a debut on this card. We knew she'd turned over pro. We knew she was going to be making a debut, and this is the card she's doing it on. And she's going to be interesting to see her journey going from the amateurs to the pros and the disappointment of the Olympics for her. It's going to be interesting to see where this journey takes her, because she is one of them immensely talented fighters that now hopefully will transition that to the professional game.
Yeah, really pleased to see Caroline Dubois making her debut in the pro game. And we backed her immensely, didn't we, in the Olympics. We thought she might go down and get that gold medal. It didn't happen for her, but I think she's perfectly suited. I think her style is suited for the pros. I think she's going to develop. She's still young. She's going to grow. She's going to get bigger. She's going to move up in the weights. And, you know, from what, you know, her amateur career for such a young girl in the junior level was terrific. And I think she's got the ability to now to turn that over into pros and make a real success of it. And she could be a real star in sort of the next 3 years, 2 to 3 years even. You know how quickly some of these girls can turn it over if they get some good wins under their belt. And obviously, Steve Robinson, I mean, you alluding to the fact again that the Welsh crowd being behind Williams. Of course, you know, technically, it doesn't make a difference, but mentally it can. And I'll tell you what, Steve Robinson, you know, Jr. on the bill of his father, if anyone's never seen Steve Robinson fight in Wales, then go and have a look on YouTube and you see what I'm talking about. When the Welsh fans really get behind their fighters, Steve Robinson was one of those guys. And so it's good to see his son making an appearance as well. So, and obviously Harlem Eubank as well, a relative to Chrissy. So a lot of family links on a big night, seeing some Americans like Clarissa over here, and then obviously Otto Wallin as well. It's not a bad card by Sky, to be honest with you. And Dongo as well, Chris Jenkins, another Welsh fighter. Again, this is all these sort of the odd Welsh fighters on here. You know, the crowd are going to be really loving this, and I think that's what's going to make a big difference in the night. Technically, although Eubank, I'm just jumping back to the main event here. Eubank is probably technically better than Williams. I think when he switches off, I think Williams has got to exploit that. But looking forward to the whole night, really.
Yeah, good card. Really, really good card. Good return to the sport for us in the UK. And I think anyone who criticises this card, I think you need to have a good look at yourselves really in the mirror, because we want quality cards, and this is actually a quality card. It's got some really good fights on there, a good few 50-50 fights, a good couple of fights, a debut, a good few Welsh fighters. It really has got a hallmarking of a really decent night. Now, that can be watched either live on Sky Sports, if you're a Sky Sports subscriber, or you can go and see our friends over at Daz TV on Twitter at Daz TV. Go and check them out. You'll be able to get that available on there also. So moving on then, Johnston, to the American fights that are happening over the weekend. I've got to highlight one in particular, and that's the return of Keith Thurman after nearly 3 years out of the ring, but 2 and a bit years out of the ring now, after he's lost to Manny Pacquiao, and he comes back to fight Mario Barrios, who was 26-1 on Saturday night, early hours of Sunday morning. Keith Thurman, one time, was supposed to be one of the pound-for-pound best in the welterweight division, and that fight with Pacquiao just seemed to take everything away from him, and we've not seen him since, and we've not sort of seen... I actually thought, I'll be honest with you, that long pause there was because I thought, you know what? is this guy ever going to come back? Was he ever going to come back? And now he is back, and now he's fighting Barrios, who is no mug, who's a good fighter, who's going to give Thurman a good night. His only loss on Barrios' record, if anybody can remember, is Gervonta Davis, and that was in the super lightweight division. He's now moved up to welterweight. So this is going to be interesting. He's moved up a weight. His last loss to Gervonta. How is he going to fare against Keith Thurman? But the bigger question is, how's Keith Thurman? What condition is he in? Is he still going to be good enough to challenge? Well, I think he's definitely got the skills and ability, but he has been out of the ring a long time, and I don't know how much that will have affected him, if it has or if it hasn't. I think Saturday night will tell us the answer. But if he is good and he's in great condition and he does well, does he still have a chance at fighting maybe a Terence Crawford or an Errol Spence?
He's a long way from that. I think he's that Pacquiao defeat has clearly scarred him. I'm not quite sure what happened out of the ring with him though, because he has had those long breaks. I mean, he had the Porter fight in the summer of 2016, and then fought Danny Garcia in the March of 2017. He never fought again until 2019 against Lopez, and that was in January. And he came out quite quickly against Manny Pacquiao, which seemed like he was going to get active. I thought after that Danny Garcia victory, he was going to sort of press on, and he had that stall year in 2018. And then he came back, beat Lopez, and then obviously lost to Pacquiao. Mario Barrios, as you said, Barrios is no mug at all. You know, he took 11 rounds for Gervonta to get rid of him. You know, he's been in there with some tough, tough competitors, and he's going to bring it. He's going to put it on Thurman. But you just don't know. We won't really know until Thurman steps it between them ropes on the early hours of Sunday morning. If he does have any, it's a tricky one. I mean, he had a lot. He lost to Pacquiao, yes. But he's got a lot of ability. You know, beating Porter and beating Garcia are two guys that two of the best in the division at the time, and he proved himself. I think there was always flaws with Thurman, and they were exposed, and then he hasn't really recovered. I'm hoping he's mentally strong. If he is, then I expect him to come through it. But it's a really tricky one, because you just don't know what to expect from him. He's only 30. He's not like well over the hill. So I don't know, he's probably had injuries. I know he had injury problems. I was reading odd bits throughout the years. He's had this injury and that injury. That's why he was sort of inactive. I'm not quite sure the ins and outs of it all. But if Thurman shows up, then I think he wins the fight. And it's just a matter of getting another one in as quick as he can. And then from there, gaining that confidence, sort of getting rid of that ring rust. And then hopefully he can then push on to even potentially push a Crawford and a Spence. But I hope he does, because he's another name in the division, to be honest with you. So it'd be interesting. It's a fascinating fight, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
So moving forward to the next fight on that card, Leo Santa Cruz is back after his knockout defeat to Gervonta Davis. He's fighting Keenan Carbajal, who's 23-2-1. He's looking to return in the featherweight division for what I would think is his last tilt at a world title. So he's got an interesting fight there on the same card. Also on there is Luis Neri in the super bantamweight division. He's coming back to fight Carlos Castro, 27-0. He's not taking an easy fight here, Luis Neri. I'm telling you, he's actually coming back with the intentions of having a decent fight against a decent opponent. I mean, obviously his last loss was against Brandon Figueroa. That was a really, really good fight in May of last year. But now he's got an opportunity again to put himself right back into contention. But, you know, this Carlos Castro, I've seen little bits of him. I think he's a great fighter. I'm just not so sure whether Luis Neri will have enough to beat him on that night. It's going to be interesting. It's a good fight. Again, a good little card in America there. Again, if anybody wants to watch that, you'll probably be able to catch that again on DAZN, or you can catch it on Daz TV. In fact, I'm not too sure if it's on DAZN. Apologies if I've given anyone the misinformation on that one. For some reason, off the top of my head, I felt like it was on. I don't think it actually is. But
I know it's on Fox.
Yeah, I know it's on Fox, and I know it's on Channel 4, and it's on Fox.
Oh, but okay, yeah.
It's on Fox pay-per-view, and I know the American channels it's on. I just couldn't remember who the UK broadcaster, if there was one. But if there isn't, you can go and check out at Daz TV on Twitter. You'll be able to get some great brilliant coverage of these particular fights on there. So, Johnston, just moving back to another US card before we give our final thoughts on Eubank Williams. I wanted to highlight this other card because we've got Carly Skelly, as I mentioned, challenging Jamie Mitchell, the newly crowned Jamie Mitchell, who beat Shannon Courtney in the fight last year. Carly Skelly, who is 4-0-1 with that one draw against Amy Timlin. For the UK fight fans, you'll be aware of that particular fight. But Carly Skelly's been given the opportunity in her sixth professional fight now to fight Jamie Mitchell, the miracle, for the WBA title in America in Phoenix, Arizona, which is a big ask. But she's an undefeated fighter as well, and she's got nothing to lose. She's been given a great opportunity. I think this is going to be an interesting fight to look out for, and I'm quite excited for her because I know she's done a lot of press quite recently over here in the UK, and a lot of people are trying to get behind her and support her from different parts of the country. She's originally from Liverpool, and she's a full-blown Scouser, and she's really wanting to bring that title back home. But Jamie Mitchell's also got a fantastic story, and you know, you didn't really want to begrudge her that world title when she beat Shannon Courtney. So that's an interesting fight on that particular card. But the headliner then for that one is Carlos Cuadras against Jesse Rodriguez Franco for the vacant WBC World Super Flyweight title. Man, it's going to be a huge night on Saturday. That particular card, that's the one I was thinking of. That is actually on DAZN as well. So
yeah,
if you want to watch that particular card, do check that one out on DAZN. But that is another great couple of fights on there. If you really want to catch a few of the headliners or the highlights, these are the fights to go and check out this weekend, definitely. Raymond Ford also in the featherweight division against Edward Vasquez, 11-0, 10-0. It's going to be a great fight. I'm excited for this weekend. I think, you know, that's the main thing I want to express to everybody listening is that, you know, we've been subjected to another month in the UK of COVID restrictions, and now they've been lifted. Now the British Boxing Board of Control is allowing fights to happen. We're getting a great card, which is headlined by Eubank versus Williams. And I suppose I wanted to use these final few minutes of this episode just to really go back over this one more time for the fight fans and run it back a little bit. And, you know, we've spoke a lot in the first 10, 15 minutes of the episode about Eubank and Williams and the fight that it is, but it's quite significant for both of them, really, because for me, if either of these two lose, I just can't genuinely see where they go next in terms of their aspirations. I mean, if Eubank loses, does he get another opportunity to go for a world title? If Williams loses, the same applies to him, really, because he's already had opportunities. Where do both of these guys go if they lose? And obviously the winner heads on, really, towards a shot at a world title. But I honestly can't think what would happen to the loser of this fight. I genuinely think this is quite a significant fight in both of their careers. It's either they move forward for a world title or they stay at domestic level, maybe have a couple of more fights or end up being a voluntary for a middleweight champion and, you know, not really getting that potential fulfilled.
Yeah, it's such a huge fight. It really is for the pair of them. And this is what makes it all more interesting and what sort of attitude they're going to have going into the fight. I mean, Eubank Jr. seems to, you know, he's 32. He's not that old for boxing. He's had a few fights. He's been in a couple of wars. He's not frightened to let his hands go. So he's going to always, you know, he's going to be in the trenches at times. Liam Williams, we know, will always put his neck on the line. And he's 29. So, I mean, I think for me, the thing with Liam Williams is it's almost like with Eubank Jr., people expected him to be fighting at world level. I mean, it's very early in his career for me. He was talking about Golovkin and he lost his pen, didn't he? That one fell apart. But with Williams, I don't think anyone really expected him to get to a world level and win a world title. And, you know, he had the Andre fight. He had obviously the Smith fights in the lower division, Liam Smith fights. But even in that first fight with Liam Smith, I thought he performed well. Liam Smith is almost like a Liam Williams where they're both on the cusp of a world title. I know Liam was a champion, but as in Smith, could Liam Williams do what he did? And I think this is the fight for him. He's a bit younger than Eubank. He's got the crowd. I just think with everything, it's almost like the stars are aligned for Liam. And I think it's his opportunity to win this fight, and he has to win for him to get any opportunity to fight for a world title. And, you know, the division is open. You know, there's titles around. It's not like, apart from Andre and, you know, what Canelo does and Golovkin, you know, Charlo, Lara, like, they've all got a title. The potential of fighting one of those and have another go at that, I think that it's fascinating. It really is. I mean, Eubank Jr., people just think he's already there. He's a top competitor, you know, and he's world level. I've never really felt that he was. I think he fell short as well. So they're in that balance, that little bracket of not quite world level, but better than the domestic level. And they're sort of out on... It's a tricky one, because even if they fought domestically, they're probably going to beat the guys in and around Britain. So European, you ain't going to really want to drop down to that level. So it's about earning, getting the big names in the big fights. If it's a terrific fight, and like we expect it to be, it's going to be... I actually think it's a potential for an early fight of the year. I just think it's got everything about it that can generate a terrific fight. And I think with their styles, I think they're suited for each other. So I think it's going to be a good fight. So you might even see a rematch at the end of it. Whether it be, if it's really close, there might be a rematch, and they're going to earn more money out of that. So it's Sean, you've made a great point, and it's just a question mark over the pair of them. If one of them comes through successfully and just demoralises the other guy, then he certainly has put himself in contention to going for a world title. I mean, is this even an eliminator? I don't even know. I haven't looked that deep into it, Sean, but I'm guessing surely one of the rankings are going to have him quite high if one of whoever comes out of a victory.
I think they'll definitely be in with a shout maybe in the next fight or two. It's not an official eliminator as such, but it's definitely being viewed by the boxing fraternity as a door to a potential world title fight. And I think once one of them wins it, or maybe even, you know, the inevitable could happen. They could end up being that close. It's a draw. We don't know yet. I mean, people were saying today about rematch clauses, and it's like, well, that's pretty standard in most contracts now. People are making it a bit of a thing. I think Williams makes it a bit of a thing as well about rematch clauses. Something that he said in the press conference about there being a rematch clause, because he knows he's going to get beat, Eubank. But you can't really look too much into that. I mean, they put in a rematch clause in for Khan versus Brook. I mean, why would we want to see that one? Why would we see that once again? Why would we want to see that once again after we'd seen it 5 years way too late? You know what I mean? It's a standard thing. It's standard in contracts now. And I think that's what people need to remember and understand, that that's part of the business side of the sport. If there's a potential for a rematch on the cards, which will make more money, they're both going to go for it. Their teams are going to go for it. Their promoters are going to go for it. Why would they not do it? I think the final word on this fight for me is it is going to come down to, I suppose, who's got the bigger heart and determination to win this fight. Is it going to be Chris Eubank? Is he going to finally start to fulfill potential by dispatching of Liam Williams? Or is Liam Williams, is he going to finally get his wish, and is he finally going to shut Chris Eubank Jr. up? Well, you're going to have to tune in on Saturday night for this big fight. Very exciting. Really, really looking forward to it. Guys, if you've enjoyed this episode, the Big Fight Preview, Eubank versus Williams, please do go and let us know on any social media platform, Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on BTR Boxing Podcast Network's page. You can subscribe to us on Apple, on Spotify, on Google, on any available podcasting app out there. Please, if you're on Apple, leave us a rating, leave us a review. It truly does help. And a big shout out, as always, to our patrons who support this podcast. We are doing, ironically, a great British middleweight fight for our patron only episode coming up very shortly. So if you're not already a patron and you haven't checked out the Patreon membership service, please do go and check it out. patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast Network. Available episodes on there, things like the Black Murderer's Row, the greatest British middleweights episode that we are recently doing as well. There's many different parts of content on there which has not been available to the general listeners. And if you want to go on there and subscribe to that, you can pay as little or as much as you would like to pay to subscribe and support this podcast network. Please do go and check it out though, guys. So that's it. That's this episode, the Big Fight Preview. Can Chris Eubank Jr. finally start to fulfill some potential, or will Liam Williams finally shut him up? We'll see you on Saturday night, fight fans. Thanks for listening.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatt rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
Wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over.
Social Podcast Network.